Okay, Agadavach, thank you for coming. I want to try to cover a few different things. Maybe start with something specific, and then maybe move it to something more basic. I know generally, probably teaching methodology-wise, it's always good to go the other way. Go from the general, go from the more basic, from the more general, and then to the more specific. But for some reason, the idea that I want to share, we're going to start from more specific and then move it to the more general to get a good general understanding of the depth of the Jewish calendar and the Jewish months. So we just had Asar B'Tevis. Just had Asar B'Tevis. And we know Asar B'Tevis, if anybody learned a little bit, Asar B'Tevis is actually one of three very dark days in the month of Tevis. And we only fasted one of them, but really the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th are three very dark days in Jewish history. The Yahrzeit, the death of Ezra HaSofer. Ezra described the leader of the Jewish people in the Shivat Zion, the return to Eretz Israel, the days prior to the building and during the building of the Second Temple after the Babylonian and Persian exiles. And the day in which Ptolemy, who was the king of the Ptolemaic Greek Empire. The Greek Empire was huge. The Greek Empire, we're talking during, more or less, during the days of the Second Temple period. We just celebrated Hanukkah. Hanukkah was also the feud, the show-off, the conflict between the Jews and the Greeks. That was more the Assyrian Greeks. There were different permutations, different types of Greeks, because there was a huge empire, and it spread, and it had different, you know, different Gilgulim, different incarnations and different offshoots, etc. One of them was in Ptolemy was in Egypt, and over there there was a decree made against 70 elders during those days to translate the Torah into Greek. And the rabbis teach
changes, right?
Yeah, it's a miraculous story. It's a miraculous story. But it's also a very, very sad story, because it was the first time the Torah was ever taken out of its pristine, holy, pure, sacred box of being unique and translated into Greek, and what that meant for the kind of erosion and downfall of our Masorah, our tradition. Truth of the matter is, it was tragic on the one hand, but also kind of indicative of the direction that Klal Yisrael would go in history. Obviously, since then, Torah has been translated into tens, if not hundreds, of languages, which has been a tremendous tool, a tremendous positive thing. But it also indicates getting further away from the pure, untainted Masorah tradition that we got in Har Sinai. And the 10th of Tevet that we fasted for on Erev Shabbos on Friday was to commemorate, to connect to feel in the days of the first temple, going back to the days of the first temple, the first place of Mikdash, when the siege was put on Yerushalayim by Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel, which was really 2.5 years prior to the destruction of the temple in Tisha B'Av of the year. Generally that the year that's given to the destruction of the first temple is the year 586 before the Common Era. So that is the month of Tevet. Let's say if we're over here, let's say this is Tishrei, this is Cheshvan, this is Kislev, and we just had the month of Tevet. And Tevet, we said, is a dark month with Asar B'Tevis as the dark fast day during that time. The Jewish calendar is a tremendously deep system. It's not random, it's not parv, it's deep and complex and full of meaning and history and energies of moments of closeness to God, moments of distance from God, moments which have more potential for great things to happen, and moments which are what are called more miyuad the puranios, more set, more prepared, more open to calamities and catastrophes. And one of the basic foundations for the Jewish calendar is a teaching that's rooted in the Zohar and then elaborated upon by later sources in Pnimius and Kabbalah Svarim and Hasidic Svarim, which elaborate on the following idea The basic source is found in the Zohar in Parshas Yisro and Daf Ayin Ches in the Zohar, but that's kind of like the core, the kernel of the idea. And then many Svarim elaborated on this idea and kind of open it up in its significance. And what's that idea? So let's just finish up the year quickly. Tishrei Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, Shvat, Adar. I was going to run out of room. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul. Beautiful, we got it. The Zohar teaches that we know that Yaakov and Esav are paradigmatic figures for the world of holiness and the world of the mundane. We know that they have showdowns multiple times in their own life, which, if anybody's learned the famous Ancient Torah Discovery Seminar class about control, about the showdown of Yaakov and Esav, and Amalek, and Purim Fest, and right, there's many showdowns between Yaakov and Esav, and they're very significant, not only in their own lives, but in all of Jewish history, and also in the Jewish calendar. Because the Zohar says, and this is kind of seen a little bit, when Yaakov and Esav are fighting over the brachos at the end of the life of Yitzhak Avinu, the Zohar, we know that Yitzhak wanted to give a bracha to Esav, and Rivka said, no way, not going to happen, and she said, Yaakov is going to be the one to get the bracha. And what's the basic understanding that's given to why Yitzhak wanted to give the brachos to Esav and Rivka to Yaakov? Basically, because Yitzhak understood that Esav would get Olam Hazeh, this physical material world, and Yaakov was a person, Ishtam Yoshev Olam, Yaakov was a person connected to the holy, to the spiritual, to the beyond, to the transcendent. And Yitzhak said, Esav is going to take this world, and Yaakov will take the next world, take the world of the beyond. Rivka knew that Esav couldn't get this world, because Yitzhak thought that Yaakov and Esav would have been what we call in Judaism, what we call Yisachar and Zvulun, right? Yisachar and Zvulun is that relationship of the physical and the spiritual, but the yin and the yang working together. The physical supporting the spiritual, and the spiritual also supporting the physical, the material. But Esav wasn't going to be that guy, because Esav's heart wasn't in the right place, and Rivka knew that. Yitzhak may have been deceived a lot. I don't want to get over there into Parshas Toldos, but he may have been deceived and misunderstood. But the Zohar says that Esav ended up with energy. Esav ended up, he didn't come out totally empty-handed from the showdown. And they did split reality to a certain extent. That's why the physical world that we live in is imperfect. Had Yaakov actually gotten the physical world that we inhabit, we wouldn't see suffering, we wouldn't see evil, we wouldn't see difficulties, we wouldn't see pain, we wouldn't see misery, we wouldn't see disease. We would see joy and harmony and beauty. We will. When Mashiach comes, the Yerushalayim is going to be tonight, and then Yaakov and the brachos will come full, and Yaakov will have everything. But in the meantime, Esav still has a big hold on this world. And that's not only true in the realm of space, and in the realm of spiritual, but it's also true in the third realm, the realm of, what are the three realms that we live in? Space, spirituality, and
time.
Very good, right? In Kabbalah, there's actually an acronym for this. This is called Ashan. Ashan is an acronym for Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Right? Ashan means smoke, and why that is for another time. Olam is geographical space, physical space, world. Shana is time. That is just spirituality. Those are the three realms. Those are the three realms that reality exists within. By the way, what is the greatest intersection where they meet in each one of them in the most profound level? The holiest moment, the holiest place, and the holiest spiritual person, the holiest soul. The Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. That's the great intersection of spirituality, the soul, time, Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, and space, right over here, a stone's throw away in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Sheyibana Bimher B'Yameinu in the Beis HaMikdash.
Amen.
So Yaakov and Esav split all of these. They split this world, right? Esav still has a chiza in this world, and by the way, especially now, this is called Galus Edom. This is the exile that's the most connected to Esav. Is very connected to Rome, and this is the exile of Rome. Rome destroyed the Second Temple. We're still in pain over the destruction that Esav and Romans brought to the world. Hopefully, we're near the end and then coming to the grand finale in the Gula Shlema. But they split time, they split space, and they and spirituality obviously is complex. Spirituality is generally holy, but there is danger, and there is sensitivity in the world around spirituality as well. And the Zohar says that not only. So what does it mean they split time? What does it mean, says the Zohar, that they split time? So the Zohar says very simple. The Zohar says, let's start from the beginning of the year. Where's the beginning of the year? Trick question?
Nisan.
Very good. So the Zohar says, Yaakov took Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan. Beautiful, wonderful months. Nisan is called the Chodesh HaGeula, the month of redemption. Right? Sivan is the month of Kabbalah Satorah, very good. Shavuot, Sayyid Shavuot. We'll get back to all these hopefully soon. Iyar is the month of Sirasa Omer, that month of progress and bringing the to its fruition. The month of Sirasa Omer, we're working on ourselves, climbing the mountain. Kabbalah Satorah, beautiful. Yaakov, Yaakov, Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan. Esav got these are Yaakov. Okay. This isn't explicit in the Zohar. The Sfarim said that this is a pattern over here. Yaakov got first pick. Yaakov got second pick. Yaakov got third pick. And Yaakov Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. Right? Tishrei, the month of Malchus, the month of Rashanim, Kippur, the month of Tshuva, the month of Kapara, the month of so much holy energy, the month with the holiest energy the entire year. Cheshvan, we'll have to get back to. We probably won't get back to it tonight, but we'll get back to it in Mitzvah Hashem. Kislev, as we just saw, Kislev is the month of the Yeshua of Hanukkah. And says the Sfarim, so Yaakov got second pick, Yaakov got third pick, excuse me, and Esav got fourth pick, and he took Tevet, Shvat, and Adar. He took Tevet, Shvat, and Adar. Now let's zoom out for 1 second. So this is the teaching of the Zohar. Let's zoom out for 1 second. Because very, very significant. Now you don't need to be a hippie to say this. You just need to know Chumash to say this. The seasons and nature is very, very, very important in the Torah. Right? If you learn the Torah well, and if you learn Parshas in Vayikra, Parshas in Mishpatim, and then Re'eh, and then the Torah is very, very tuned in to the cycle of nature. Nature is very, very important, right? The month of Geula is called Chodesh HaAviv, right? In fact, our whole calendar, halachically, anybody learn Rosh Hashanah, our whole calendar is calculated and is engineered to ensure that the month of Nisan will always fall out in the springtime. And sometimes, like this year, what will we do to ensure that? We'll add a second Adar. We'll add a second Adar to ensure that Nisan will be the springtime month. Because Hashem himself said, I took you out of Mitzrayim, B'chodesh Aviv. And why? So Chazal say, Rashi brings down, because Hashem loves us. And he doesn't want to make us travel. He doesn't want to make us go on this journey in a month that's too hot, like over here in the middle of the summer, or a month that's too cold, like over here in the middle of winter. He wants us to travel in style, to travel with comfort, in a beautiful springtime month where it's warm and pleasant, not too hot, not too cold. And that's like the Chodesh HaGeula, when we're traveling, when we begin the journey, having to try in Teretz Yisrael, to come out of Satorah, Teretz Yisrael, has to be in the Chodesh Aviv, right? So this has to be in the spring, right? And obviously, what is this? What is the main thing of Pesach? What is the main word association, Pesach, first word that comes to your mind? Second word.
Exodus.
Third word.
Matzah.
Matzah. Matzah. It's called Chag HaMatzot, Chag HaMatzot. Chag HaMatzot, right? How do you make matzah? You need flour. How do you make flour? Out of wheat, right? The whole holiday is very agriculturally based. Because the wheat is ready. Now the truth of the matter is, because nowadays, Baruch Hashem, there's 15 million Jews, and also a lot of goyim like matzah too, so the matzah production is actually for, in many matzah factories, it's actually an all-year-long thing. But really, it's meant to be, meaning there didn't used to be storehouses and being able to... It used to be, you know, the spring came, and the first wheat is ready. You take that first wheat, and you make it into flour, and you make matzahs with it. Can you call my cats if there's any kind of problem?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is there a problem?
No, I thought I was supposed to tell you for the pizza
thing
you
had on. Can you call it McCaffrey? Yeah, thank you, Shrek. Agricultural, springtime, flour, the wheat, right? And what do we give on the what do we and the 16th? That's the 15th is the first day of Pesach. What's the 16th? The 16th begins Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is all about barley, the barley harvest, right? And what are we counting? We're counting to Shavuos, right? Omer even means it's a measurement of grain. Right? Omer is a measurement, right? And then we get to Shavuos, which is Chag HaKatzir, right? Shavuos, which is Chag HaKatzir. Shavuot, which Chag HaKatzir, the harvest, right? The wheat harvest, right? And then we go into the summer, right? And Shavuos is also called Chag HaBikurim. What are Bikurim? Right, the first fruits, because now the truth of the matter is, there's no fruits on Shavuos, right? Anybody, you ever look at your, you know, you ever look at your Shavuos table,
cheesecake.
Right? Yeah, cheesecake, right? But there's no fruits. Why is there no fruits?
Because there's cheesecake.
There's no fruits because none of the fruits are ready, right? It was just the winter. We came out in the spring. You don't have wheat and barley and grains can be ready this quickly. The fruit. Walk in the countryside in Eretz Yisrael. Walk through the orchards. Walk through the vineyards all summer long. The grapes are getting bigger. The olives are getting bigger. The apples, the peaches, the dates, the figs. Right, they're growing all summer long. And when do we celebrate the fruits? It's not Stam that we eat new fruits in Rosh Hashanah, but it's certainly connected. But more specifically.
The 15th of Tishrei.
On the holiday of Sukkot, which is called Chag Ha. Chag Ha. Chag Ha. Right? What does the Torah say? Be'aspechem et tvosichem. Right? What do we make? We're learning Sukkah this year. We make a Sukkah out of Psoles Goren V'yekev. What's Psoles Goren V'yekev? What's Psoles Goren V'yekev? That's right. All the stuff that's left over from your fruit harvest, right? If you look in the olive trees that are all over the country, it's dafka around Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot time that the Arabs are going out to any olive tree they can find and banging them with big sticks with big nets under so they can harvest all of the olives that are finally ready around then, and that's when the grapes are ready, and that's when the figs are ready, and that's right. Sukkot is the fruit holiday. Sukkot is where finally all the fruit is ready at the end, right? And that's why, and that's actually the Torah says your sukkah is over there in the field. Anyway, sukkah is right. That so spring, and then we have summer, and we have the fall, which is the harvest, right? It's not only Thanksgiving. Which is the harvest time, and then we get into the winter. And on a Torah level, from here to here, what do you not have in Torah, in Chumash? Not one holiday, right? Every single holiday in Torah is from here, Nisan, here, Sivan Tamuzav Elul, till Tishrei. These months are holiday free. It's not coincidental that these are the cold winter months. The dark, cold winter months. Because not only are they dark and cold in climate, they're also dark and cold spiritually. And there's a lot of adversity during this time. Right, Esav has three of these months, not Sam. And Kislev also was a dark time. That's when the Yevanim came against us. And Cheshvan is also called Mar Cheshvan. It's a bitter month, bitter month as well. I want now to do just a little journey. Really zooming in on this part of the year. And maybe we'll try to make some sense of a few things. Maybe some questions.
Which part are we zooming in?
The Torah part of the year. I'll say one more thing before we get to the Torah part of the year. What's the most significant day of every month? If you have to pick one date in the month, that's going to be the date, meaning the number date that in general is going to be the most significant part of each month.
Rosh Chodesh.
The first day.
You say the first day of Rosh Chodesh.
Okay. I'm going to say the 14th, full moon.
Not 14th, you're one day off.
15.
The 15th. Rosh Chodesh is very, very important. It's the new beginning.
Right.
But Rosh Chodesh.
It's too obvious.
Rosh Chodesh. But it's what does Chodesh mean?
Month.
Chodesh, right? Chodesh means month. And what does it come from?
Renewal.
It comes from renewal, right? Meaning the concept of months in right. The very what was the first mitzvah that Kali Shol got? No, the Klal Yisrael got the term of the Torah, right? The mitzvah of the Chodesh HaZelachem, Rosh Chodesh, and that's not significant because time is so critical for Klal Yisrael. We live in the realm of time in a very, very big way. And a sensitive Jew is very sensitive to time and the flow of energies of time. And that's why, because of that, or where does that come from? Because the first mitzvah that Jewish people that Hashem gave the Jewish people while we were still in Mitzrayim, we were still in Mitzrayim. In space, we were still in the Erev HaSaaretz. We were in this disgusting, broken, decrepit, depressing hellhole, excuse my language, of Egypt. But Hashem said, even before we left Mitzrayim, Hashem said, HaChodesh HaZelachem. In space, and this is going to be a very, very important tool for the Jewish people for the rest of our history. In space, you may be in the dumpster of reality, but I'm giving you the gift of time. Because a Jew, even though in space they could be in a dumpster, in the realm of time, they could achieve the highest heights. That's why we have the 7-day week with culminating with Shabbos. That's why we have our Yom Tovim and our system of months. And the months are so critical. HaChodesh Elechem. Chodesh means renewal, brand new. Chodesh also means, right? Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh, right? Right. We sanctify the new month. Right. We do Kiddush. And the Chodesh refers to the moon. Right. The moon is also called the Chodesh as well, because the moon goes through cycles of waxing and waning and renewing again each month. So yes, Rosh Chodesh is a very, very critical day, but in general, it's a day of potential. Because if the month is based on the moon, then what does the moon look like on Rosh Chodesh?
Nothing.
Tiny little sliver, right? Rosh Chodesh is when the witnesses go out and they come, and then wherever they are, in Haifa, Tzad, Tveria, Be'er Sheva, wherever they are, and they quickly jump in a car, even on Shabbos, they could jump in a car and come to the Beis HaMikdash and say, we saw the new moon, right? You're allowed to Mechal Shabbos to come bring a testimony, right? Go to Rosh Hashanah, to Mechal Shabbos to bring a testimony to the Beis HaMikdash and Sanhedrin to say we saw the new moon. And they ask the questions, what did it look like? Where in the sky was it? What direction? Whatever. And if they accept the testimony, and they declare that it's Rosh Chodesh. So that's Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is the new moon, right? We bless the new moon, right? As the month goes on, how long is a month?
29.
A month is 20. Exactly. When we get to the end, what does the moon look like at the end? The opposite, a very, very sliver, and then the month is over when the moon totally disappears. And then it'll start over again. And what does the moon look like in the middle of the month, which is what date of the month?
15th.
The 15th of the month, that's when there'll be a full moon. That's when there'll be a full moon.
Whatever.
And therefore, what's it going to be, in general, the most significant day of each month? If the month is based on the energy of the moon, the 15th of each month. Let's go through a few months. Tishrei. 15th of the month is? That's right. Sukkos.
Yeah.
Right? The very, very special Yom Tov. Cheshvan doesn't have a special 15th. Kislev doesn't have a special 15th. Tevet does not have a special 15th. Shvat.
15th.
Tu B'Shvat, right? A very, very chashuv day. A very, very chashuv day. Adar, 15th.
Purim.
14th, 15th. Purim. Nisan, 15th.
Pesach.
Iyar, we'll leave out. Sivan, we'll leave out.
Tammuz also, Eretz Yom will leave out. Tammuz also will leave out. Very, very important, 15th.
Tu Be'av.
The Gemara calls Tu Be'av
the happiest day of the entire year. The Gemara in Tainus gives, the Mishnah in Tainus. Much more. The Mishnah in Tainus gives five reasons. So that's six of the months, have the 15th as a very, very chashuv day. Not coincidental, because the 15th always has the complete energy of that month when the moon is full. This is an idea that now, the next idea is found in Svarim in different ways. I heard it from a Rebbe of mine when I was in Yeshiva 20 years ago, and it's very, very chashuv. And it goes like this. Yaakov and Esav split the months. However, Yaakov stole the brachos. And when Yaakov stole the brachos, he not only stole is an intense word, but that's the word that's generally used.
He borrowed it.
He stole the brachos, and he used the midah of being able to deceive in a holy way, which is a very, very important thing. But Yaakov, even though he's the midah of Emes, his challenge, Yaakov Kamenetsky has a famous article in his Perush on Chumash to Yaakov, that Yaakov's Akeda moment, right? Avram's Akeda moment was the pillar of kindness. He had to do an act of gevura to go against, to slaughter his son, right? To go totally against his fundamental midah. Yaakov's midah was emes, truth. His Akeda moment, his great spiritual challenge, was to go against his midah, his fundamental attribute of truth, to be deceptive in a holy way. And when Yaakov did that act of deception, taking the brachos from Esav, not only did he get a big portion of this world, he took it back into the realm of holiness, but he also took some realms of time. He kind of stole part of Esav's portion in time, back into the realm of holiness. And what are those time periods? So those time periods are from here to here, right? Half of this. And also from here to here. And if you look at these two time periods, from Tu Bishvat, from Tu Bishvat, the month of Adar, to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Tu Be'av, the month of Elul, those two time periods, these are both 45-day time periods, a full month and 50 days from the month before it, the month of Elul, and 50 days from Av. Those time periods, if you look at them very closely, they're time periods which experienced in their energy a great mahapecha. How do you say mahapecha in English? A great flip. A great transition of energies. What's the great transition of energies that happens here? So the whole Purim story, which happens here, right? Haman was very, very excited when he found that the lottery fell in the month of Adar. He was very, very excited. Because the month of Adar, he said, is the death of Moshe. It's a dark month. And not only is it a dark month because of the death of Moshe, right? Everybody was talking about?
Yeah.
Right? Not only is it a dark month because of the death of Moshe, but it was also a dark month because it was one of Esav's months that the rabbis teach in this deeper thought approach. But what happened? Klal Yisrael did tshuva under the leadership of Mordechai and Esther, and v'nahafochu, they transformed that time from a time of darkness and fear and potential destruction to la yehudim haisa ora v'simcha v'sasun v'ikar, became a month of redemption, a month of salvation. And therefore, because Yaakov had stolen that bracha, that time which seemed dark, which seemed bleak, which seemed hopeless, which seemed scary, was also transformed to a month of redemption. What about over here?
Over here, so this is a very dark time. You know, Tammuz and Av. Tammuz and Av is the month of Chorban, the siege over Yerushalayim, the broken siege in both the first and second temples, and then on Tisha B'Av, when finally the temples were destroyed. and very, very dark times. But on Tu B'Av, on the 15th, we know that Tu B'Av is the Gemara says, the happiest day of the entire year. And everything changes. Everything changes. We start, we come out of that mourning of destruction. Those 3 weeks of mourning, the three weeks of brokenness, and Tisha B'Av, sitting on the floor and crying and being so broken over the Churban, and we come out of it. What happened during this time? What happened during this time that made it into such a period of transformation, that it caused it to be transformed from a time of darkness into a time of light and hope? Obviously, we know what Elul is. Elul is a month of. You have to use one word association. Elul associated.
Tshuva, right?
That was four words. Good one. But one word, I would say tshuva, just returning to God. Let's just. This now, as I said in the beginning, we're going to go to the general. Because I just want to give a quick history lesson. Because you can't have any shaychus to understanding the depth of the Jewish calendar without the following history lesson. And it's very, very important. Let's see. Now, the truth of the matter is, we could start the history lesson. We could start the history lesson over here on Asar B'Tavis. On Asar B'Tavis, because there is a teaching brought down in later sources that wants to claim that the sale of Yosef, the Mechiras Yosef, also happened on Asar B'Tavis.
Wow.
Which is fascinating. I brought down into the Sfarim, I saw the Drushus Beis Yishai of Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, who was a rabbi that passed away not so long ago. He developed his approach. But that's more. Let's just talk Pshat Chumash. What I want to say from here is Pshat Chumash. Pshat Chumash and Rashi. And it's super cool. We left Mitzrayim on Pesach Tesvav, right? Tesvav Nisan. We left Mitzrayim. And that was a huge deal. That was like the most exciting day in the world. We were slaves for 400 years, 210 years. And finally Hashem said, I love you. I'm taking you out. The angel said no. God says yes. They're my beloved chosen people. I'm bringing them out. What happened? So let's just go through. 7 days later, on Chaf Aleph, right, this is Yitzias Mitzrayim. 7 days later, what happened? So this is actually a fascinating 7 day period. Nowadays we call this 7 day period, we call it the holiday of a Pesach, right? Truth of the matter is, it's actually the wrong answer. It's actually called Chag HaMatzot, right? As we said earlier, right? Later, right? In the Torah's eyes, it's called Chag HaMatzot. The Kiddush Lady has a very, very beautiful idea that God called it Chag HaMatzot because we made Matzot, but we changed its name to Chag HaPesach because Matzot is God celebrating what we did for Him. Chag HaPesach is us celebrating what God did for us. That's a beautiful word from the Kiddush Lady. But 7 days later, we get to the bank of the Yamsuf, we get to the bank of the Sea of Reeds, and it looks like it's all over. There's a huge sea in front of us, there's an army approaching us from behind, and the Jewish people say, oh man, Hashem, you took us out here to die in the wilderness, it would have been much better to be slaves in Egypt. By the way, that's something that the Jewish people say many times throughout Chumash. God says, chill, I got this, right? It's actually very, very, that's like, also a repeated theme in history, us complaining, and then God's like saying somehow to us, sometimes more revealed, sometimes less revealed, but chill, I got this, just have a little faith. And what does he do? He splits the sea. That's Shvi Shal Pesach, and something Pesach, Chaf Aleph Nisan, right? Shvi Shal Pesach, right? Kriya Samsung. As we said earlier, there is a very important day in here, which was not celebrated that first year, but will become significant maybe the second year or maybe 40 years later when we get into Eretz Yisrael, but begins a process. And what's that process? That's the process that nowadays we call Sfiras HaOmer, right? This is a 49-day process. And what is that process? Literally, it's a process which takes us from leaving Egypt to Kabbalah Satorah, right? Which was the day that all of reality had been waiting for since its inception, since it was created. And this is a very important 49-day period, a day of, the Archaim HaKadosh says, just like a woman has to wait 7 days before going to the mikvah in order to be able to connect
with her husband, so too the Jewish people had to go through seven seven-day periods, in order to purify ourselves. And we went to the mikveh before Kabbalah Satorah, according to mystical sources. And we had that moment of where Hashem revealed Himself to us, that greatest intimacy, that greatest revelation in the history of the world, Kabbalah Satorah. So what happens next? What happens next? So here's a question. On this day of Kabbalah Satorah, what direction on the mountain, Har Sinai, did Moshe go? Up or down? Trick question.
Stayed in place.
What? He went up. Right. He went up the mountain. Meaning, what about giving the Torah to the Jewish people? So he actually did both. He went up. He went up. What?
You mean after Hashem said the first two times, there was a
well, it, well, exactly where he was, the two and then the second eight, you're right. What's your name? Sorry? Shalom. Shalom is referenced in the Gemara on Shabbos, that Moshe gave us the first two, but then we died and we couldn't handle it. And God gave us the first two, excuse me, yeah. And we died and couldn't handle it, and then Moshe gave us the second eight so that we wouldn't die hearing the voice of God. But Pshat Chumash, if you look in Parashas Yisro and Parashas Mishpatim, what happened was Moshe went up, got the Torah, then brought it, then came down and said the 10 Dibros, and then Hashem said on the next day, now come, or later that day, exactly when, and this calculation is very, very important, Hashem said, come back up the mountain. And Moshe then goes up the mountain for another 40 days.
He goes up. He has three periods of 40 days up
there. Oh, very good. He goes up the mountain for another 40 days, right? And these 40 days were probably the 40th greatest days in Jewish history. Moshe is getting the Torah from Hashem. He's passing it down the mountain from Yoshua to Aaron and Yoshua and Nadab and Abihu, and it's going down, and the Torah is literally being funneled from Hashem through Moshe down to Klal Yisrael. And that's an unbelievable thing. Even though Chazal say that Moshe actually forgot the Torah every single day, and every single day he woke up, Moshe didn't eat, didn't drink, didn't sleep for those 40 days. He himself was in the most profound state that human beings ever attained. And finally, after 40 days, he had gotten the entire Torah. The Jewish people had gotten the entire Torah, and he was ready to come down with the tablets on what Baruch Hashem day? Yud Zayin Tammuz. The 17th of Tammuz. And it was supposed to be a very, very exciting day. Unfortunately, Rashi tells us there was a miscalculation. The Jewish people thought that Moshe was coming down, but he didn't come down. And their upsetness, this is what Rashi does, their upsetness was so intense that they caused themselves to see a vision of Moshe's dead body. This is Rashi, Chumash and Parashat Kitizah. What is the Satan? The Satan is a result, right? The Satan, right? Bederach Sha'adam. The way in which a person wants to go, that's the direction it'll be taken, right? Meaning, this, what does it mean to be tricked by the Satan? It means that you are getting yourself into a certain zone, and you become one-track mind towards that, and you just go off the deep end.
Oh, so
and
this is how the concept of self-fulfilling prophecy got started.
Something along those lines. And what happened was, that's it. Moshe's not coming. He's dead. And the Chayda Enyog. This day, for the rest of time, when the Jewish people do the Chayda Enyog, and Moshe comes down and breaks the Luchos, it ends up becoming secured. Right? And it's not a coincidence, because now we're in the thick of Esav's months. We're in the thick of Esav's months over here. Esav's got a hold over here. And in Esav's, because we're in that time period, the energy is going against us, and it's hard, and we failed, we fell over there as a result of what was going down. And Moshe breaks the Luchos. Hashem says to Moshe, that's it with these people, I'm done with them, I'm angry at them, I'm furious at them, I want to kill all of them and start over with you. There's a civil war, 3,000 people die, Shevet Levi says, Mila Hashem Eli, and there's a plague, and Moshe says, no! Right? We just laned Erev Shabbos, we just laned Friday morning, we laid Erev Shabbos again, the psukim of the Yogim of the Seraphim, where Moshe beseeches Hashem and begs for his mercy, and Hashem says, fine, I'll forgive you. And what happens? But that's a process. Let's just play it out. These, Rashi says, there's 40 days of anger. 40 days of anger. And whoever says 3 40 day periods, very, very good. Right? The 40 days of anger go from Shiva Sarvatamus all the way to what? Rosh Chodesh Elul.
Is that what it coincides with?
That's exactly what they are. That's what the poem says. That's what they are. The 40 days are right. The 17th of Tammuz, do a calculation. The 17th of Tammuz to Rosh Chodesh Elul is 40 days. Those are 40 days of anger. What happened those 40 days? What happened those 40 days was Moshe had been begging. God was furious. Moshe had been begging for God to give us a chance. And finally, on Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's why Rosh Chodesh becomes the month of Tshuva, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I'll give you the opportunity to earn your Tshuva. I'm not going to give you a free gift like I gave you over here because that failed. I'm going to give you the opportunity to earn it on your own, to work for it, to re-establish yourselves, to refine and rectify what the mistakes that you made. And therefore, that those words, those themes, become the next 40-day period. The 40-day period culminating in the day that we got the second, the day that we got the second Luchos, also known as Yom Kippur, right? Chazal say Yom Kippur is the other happiest day of the year, right? These are the two happiest days of the year. And Yom Kippur, the Gemara of Shachim and the Gemara of Vashur say that Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year. Why? Because it was the day that Hashem forgave us and the day that we got the second Luchos. And finally, at the end of this 40-day period, we had fixed what was broken over here. And again, now we see again this time period precisely is the time that Yaakov stole back and Klal Yisrael also stole it back. Through our tshuva, because Yaakov gave us that energy. It was Esav big month, it was dark potential, broken potential. And we fell for it, right? That's exactly when Shiva Sabatamos happens. That's exactly when Tishvav happens. By the way, okay, let's just play out something else. One year later, One year later, what ends up happening over here from Rosh Chodesh Tammuz till Tishba? This is the second year. This is year two. But what happens year two during this time period? 40 days. Who travels for 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Tammuz till Tishba? Who travels for 40 days and then makes people cry? The spies. The Chet HaMeraglim, right? Again, during Esav's time, it was great potential. They were going to the division.
Did you see 40 days of anger? It was the same.
Precisely. It was during that exact same time. Overlap. Maybe the 40 days of anger in the first year is Shiva Sarbatamu's Tirosh Chodesh Elul.
Right.
And there's a serious overlap in the 40 days of the next year of the Meraglim. Serious overlap. Yeah. Right? And they left at Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. That's explicit in Parsha Shlach that they left on the first of the fourth month, right? Torah says explicitly. Exactly. And because of that, their eyes deceived them. It was the most wondrous moment. We should have come to Eretz Yisrael. It should have been so beautiful. It should have been, they lived happily ever after. But their eyes deceived them. They got tricked because of that negative energy that was there. And they came back in Tisha B'Av and they made the entire Klal Yisrael cry. And Hashem said, because you atem bechitam bechiyah shel chinam, you cried for no reason. I'm going to make you cry for generations on this day. But it had already been established by the back here. And the truth of the matter is, Api Kabbalah, this day was already pre-established as the day that Yaakov and the Saru Shel Esav had fought way back in Parshas Vayishlach. When Yaakov and the angel, that was the Zohar says that happened on Tishba. Because again, that energy was predestined way back, programmed into the Yaakov Esav relationship. Let's just finish off over here. What ends up happening here? So again, we said in the Chumash, this is really dead space. This is dead space in Chumash. No, Chazal, it's not dead space, but we're not celebrating. There's the Yom Tovim during that time. But what are Klal Yisrael doing that first year? So what happened?
They're learning Torah by the base of Har Sinai.
No. They are at Har Sinai, correct? But they're not just sitting and learning. They got their work gloves on. What are they working on? Okay. What happens 5 days? What happens 5 days after Yom Kippur? We already said it.
Sukkot.
Why is Sukkot here? So there's a famous question in the Rishon that Sukkot should really be here, because Sukkot is the celebration of the booths that we lived in when we're traveling in the desert. This is desert traveling season. So there's different answers that are given. The Vilna Gaon says something profound, unbelievable. The Vilna Gaon says, what did Hashem say immediately after he finally forgave us and gave us the second tablets, the second luchos, and he said, "I forgive you and I love you and I want to live with you happily ever after." You know what the next thing he said was? Well, look at Chumash. Parshas Yisro Mishpatim. What happens next? Vayakel Truma Tetzaveh. What's Truma Tetzaveh? The building of the Mishkan. What's the building of the Mishkan? Hashem says, "Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti v'socham." Build me a tabernacle, and I will dwell within you. This was a time period of so much distance and anger. It was like a husband and wife running away from each other. You're sleeping on the couch. Finally, on Yom Kippur, I love you. I forgive you. Let's make up. Let's be in love again, just as we were in our Sinai. And not only are we making up, but let's seal it. Let's make sure that it stays forever. What's the way that it stays forever? Build me a house. Build me a room that I can be with you forever. And therefore, Chazal said, Rashi brings in a Chumash, that on the 15th, this is the Vilna Gaon's great Chiddush, it's in his parish on Shir HaShirim, that it's not a coincidence that on the 15th day of Tishrei, which is the same day that Klal Yisrael began to build the Mishkan, the Jewish people for the rest of time will sit in a sukkah. Because a sukkah, as you're all learning sukkah, right? The Gemara that the walls of the sukkah have Shem Hashem on them, right? It's like it has the same level as a Korban Chagiga. It has a tremendous, it's like a little Beis HaMikdash. It's like a little Mishkan, Mikdash, the sukkah. Why?
A little Mishkan,
Mikdash, interchangeable, yeah. And I'm dwelling within you. I'm dwelling in your home. I'm going into your home. I'm leaving my home and I'm going into your home because Hashem left his home and came down into our home and said, "I want to live with you together." But we didn't have, in the desert, the process began. The process began. The project began. When did the project finish? So there's actually a few different answers to that. The collection actually went. The Mishkan was actually ready, Chazal say, in Kislev. But Hashem said, "Wait, I don't want you to build it now. I want the Mishkan to finally be built and ready on the birthday of Yitzchak Avinu, which is what?
The first of Nisan,
Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And therefore, the Mishkan sits here waiting." With everything's ready, the walls, the roof, the kelim, the vessels, the clothing, everything's ready. But it sits here waiting. It sits here waiting for Rosh Chodesh Nisan because it has to coincide with the birthday of Nisan, the birthday of Yitzchak, which is this time period when we get back into the realm of Yaakov, we get back into Chodesh HaGeula. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says we left Mitzrayim in Chodesh Nisan and the Mashiach is going to come in Chodesh Nisan. Meaning there's an inyan of waiting during this time that has to be. There's so much potential. Everything is there in potential, but it's not revealed. That's the exact reality of what the winter is. The winter is so important, but it's all that potential. It's the cold and the rain. You don't see anything growing. You don't see anything blossoming. You don't see anything blooming. But that rain is so important, and that's what the Gemara in Tana says. The day of rain is as big as the day of Mashiach. Because when the rain comes in, it's what, first of all, in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is showing that to David and Mashiach Ruach and Gashem, the same time of the Bracha, Hashem, we need the rain, and through the rain, you show us how much you love us. The rain seeps into the ground so that when come this time of the year, the world will have a Triyat Sabes, and the world will come back from the dead, or come back to life again. And this time period is all about potential. It's all about potential. It's all about recognizing that we have to be patient, that we have to know that things are happening even though we can't see them. And there's nothing to celebrate during this time. Come Chazal and give us the two biggest Yom Tovim Dirabanan of Hanukkah and Purim during this time, which is very, very significant. They are not Torah, they're not Oraisa Yom Tovim. They are very connected with Golos. Because they are the Yom Tovim that give us the strength to be able to overcome what's coming against us during this waiting time. We're waiting. But we have the light to overcome the darkness. We have the tremendous ability to do tshuva, to transform the time. And that gives us the potential to handle what's going on here in these dark winter months, which culminate, which finally come to their end and their finale when the world comes back to life, back in Nisan. We get back into Yaakov time, and that's when Mashiach comes. There's so much more to say, but I think we'll stop it there for tonight.